thank you for the message you laid upon my heart earlier this week, and I thank you for bringing Pastor Kim and Pastor Kevin and Kim back as well safely to Traveling Mercies. I thank God they enjoyed themselves, got a little R&R, came back, and hopefully refreshed and renewed and strengthened to go through to start over another chapter here. I thank you again for each one here, the wisdom, strength, and safety and health you give us all to put our, just to get out of bed in the morning, put our feet to the floor, and get through the day. Because there are those that don't even have that, they aren't even capable of doing that. So I thank you for the grace, I thank you for the blessings even of that, just to get through this day, each and every day that we have. I pray for what's being done, what's said, and what's done, it would be according to your word, according to your timeline as well. And again, is the messages, the testimonies, if any requests are laid or from anyone's heart or praises are laid upon anyone's heart, we thank you for that as well, and because it's according to your timeline that we live, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us each and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said, we're going to a little devotion here, a devotional before we get into the hymn sing and the testimonies and praise part of the service this evening. If you turn with me, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 9. If you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9, while you're turning to Proverbs chapter 9, I'll give you an overview of what we're going to be looking at here. Let's talk about Invitations of Wisdom and Folly. That's the title that Proverbs chapter 9 is taught. But there's a lesson, there's an example here. It talks about a lady, she had gotten pregnant, she had dropped out of high school, and to care for her daughter. 15 years later, she was working, mother of three, who dreamed of being a licensed beautician. With humility and tenacity, she became a student again in a free GED support program. She said it was humbling to go back to school after so long. This program changed her life, she said. The teacher was amazing and offered so much encouragement. Remaining teachable may be one of the most difficult things we as adults can do. They say children are more, they're like an open book. They're like the, I refer to them as a brand new motherboard from on a computer. There's nothing there until things are downloaded, information is downloaded into their brains, but they learn quickly and they accept more readily things that they're taught. And as time goes on, as we grow up, I think, I don't know if it's stubbornness, ego, pride, many things get in the way, but as adults, we have very hard time of remaining teachable because they love to use the term set in their way. We're set in our ways. And that's what we don't want to become, set in our ways, because we stagnate. You have a tendency to stagnate and move backwards. I mean, a ship that goes nowhere isn't going, it's dead in the water. There's a lot of different examples I can use for this, but we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 9. We're going to read through the whole chapter, and we're looking at, it's called Invitations of Wisdom and Folly. Proverbs chapter 9, starting verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go away, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Now, verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me the days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Now, in 13, the total opposite of we're talking about the second here. We already talked about wisdom. Now we're going to go talk and start talking about folly. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Now the Bible speaks of having a teachable heart that's open to God's wisdom. Excuse me. The poetry of Proverbs paints a picture of two women calling out to passerbys on the road. Well, as we just looked at it, wisdom and folly. Wisdom and folly. Those who listen to wisdom receive correction with grace. They add to their learning and become ever wiser. If you look at verse 9, it says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Now, there's a thing they call, it's called constructive criticism and destructive criticism. There's two such things in the world today. And sometimes we have a tendency that those lines kind of get blurred between constructive and destructive criticism. I mean, sometimes it's so blatant you can see it. It's not hard to see the picture between destructive criticism and constructive criticism. But constructive criticism builds us up. I mean, it's what we're talking about here. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. He will get wiser. A fool is just going to keep going down the way of the road, just not worried about the roadblocks, stumbling blocks, and not caring about what those of us, if you would call yourself wise, we're trying to teach him with constructive criticism. We're trying to help him watch out for those blind sides, those 90-degree turns, those roadblocks, whether it be strife, whether it be ego, whether it be pride, things that roadblocks that we all run into, we all struggle with, we've all struggled with as humans. It's a human nature, it's part of our sin nature. We were born with it, just like we were born with free will, we were born with it all, we're still the same thing. But those of us, we try to help those. We've already been down those roads, and we've already been knocked down time and time again. We may have missed a corner, one of those 90-degree turns or two in our lives, but we still survived it by the grace of God. And that constructive criticism is going to help those that come behind us. Just like Eric was talking about this morning, the generations that come behind us, they need all the help they can get, sad to say. Because the world, Satan's having a heyday right now, and he's trying to tell them, the truth is just flying around out there. If I want to say the world's flat, I can say the world's flat. As long as I believe that, that's considered part of the truth nowadays. I mean, that's an exaggerated example, but fact in today's day and age where we're living in right now. But this hit home with me because I taught GED when I was down south for a few years, and I graduated one of the biggest classes that Tallahassee had in the region. That's because the folks that were there, they wanted the education. They wanted the knowledge. They wanted to be there. It's not like we had old and young alike. I've seen old and young alike that came through those programs. And just like the guys out in Sheffield, old and young alike, that came through those programs as well. But they wanted the knowledge to better themselves in life, throughout their life, in that walk of life that they had. And it's a good feeling when you see the people there, helping them to lead them along to bypass these roadblocks, these stumbling blocks, the turns in the road. And it's an awesome thing. It's a great thing when they follow those directions. But you also have to understand we all have free will. And there are going to be examples that are going to take that turn. They're going to go do what they want. I mean, they're going to take that information, the education you try to give them or you try to help them receive to help them through their lives. And it seems like they throw it back in your face. It seems like they just trample it under feet. I think there's a verse in there. I can't remember exactly where, but talking about swine trampling pearls underfoot, like the swine trampling the pearls underfoot. Valuable things that they were given, valuable information, valuable knowledge, valuable education that they were given, but they just disavow it and they still go their own way. It's choice. It's sad to see, even with parents, those are every parents, grandparents, you give your children instruction, and I'll use myself as an example. I was kind of a hard-headed, stubborn individual. We learned the hard way. It was kind of our generation that came up was go big or go home, but we wound up with scars. Internal and external scars from those decisions that we made, but it's God's grace and it's God's mercy that the reason we came out the other end alive was praying parents and grandparents, aunts, uncles that pray for us, because at the time we don't have where we're speeding down that road because we got heavy feet. We don't really pay attention to the road signs, and we're not really praying for ourselves. Through these times, the decisions we make when it comes down to it, whether it be because of pride, ego, whatever the case may be. But here, like I said, we're looking at two invitations here. You're looking at wisdom and you're looking at folly. It says, give instruction to the wise man in 9, and it'll be wise or teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fool's only going to trample it under feet, the information and education that you give him. But they habitually walk in the way of insight in verse 6 and seat themselves at wisdom's table for instructions. Their obedience leads to a full life. If you look at verse 11, it says, for by me thy days shall be multiplied and the years of thy life shall be increased. That's a benefit, truly a benefit all the way around, I would say, it sounds like to me. And in contrast, those who listen to folly hate being corrected or criticized. They insult anyone who tries to instruct them. If you look at verse 7 and 8, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man shall getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Humility comes from fearing God, acknowledging that He is the Holy One and we are not. That's one of the big problems we have when it comes to ego or pride. I mean, that's one of the problems Satan had. I mean, if you look at it, if you look at the truth, the fact of the matter, I mean, he thought he wanted to be equal. He wanted to be above the Holy One. He wanted to be the man in charge. And he tried it, and look what happened to him. When he hit, I mean, physics works. Physics is a wonderful thing, I mean, when it works. But when he got thrown out of heaven and down to this earth, he proceeded to start a revenge campaign against Christ followers from day one, from the time of the garden, from the time he created Adam and Eve, till the time he's going to keep doing it. He tried even with Christ. And he keeps putting setback on his ear, but the thing is, when Christ died on that cross, he doesn't realize he's still trying. It's a revenge policy. All he's worried about is taking what he grabbed and what he can. It's more or less a revenge. He knows, I'm pretty sure he has a good idea that he didn't win after Christ died on that cross. I'm pretty sure he knew he lost. He tried, he kept trying and trying and trying down through the ages with David, Solomon, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and didn't get nowhere with them. And after the fact that Christ died on that cross, he realized that he lost. And all he cares about now, like I said, is a revenge campaign. All he wants to do is grab anything and anything he can, take it with us. That's what Kevin said when Pastor Kevin says, the, the, one of the biggest speed bumps or the roadblocks we have in today's world is, from what I see, is the busyness. If he can keep a Satan can keep a Christian busy, he's not doing nothing for Christ. He's not doing nothing for the Great Commission. He's not looking for or searching for a ministry that he can be used in, whether it be in a church, whether it be in a mission field across the waters, in his own backyard, in his own town. He's not being used. That busyness keeps a lot of Christians from obeying. I mean, what I talked about even on Wednesday night, the message I talked about obeying God, why we have thorns in our sides, so many thorns in our side, what they call thorns in our sides, pains in our sides. That's another disobedience, and it's one of Satan's, I think, better tactics in today's day and age, because the busyness, the time is just going. It's going so fast. Doesn't matter if you look at technology, you look at the thought process, you look at education, it multiplies exponentially. And he knows that that's one of his best tools to use against the entire world, not just Christians, but even the unsaved. It keeps them from crossing that finish line, becoming saved and understanding the awesome God that we serve and why we serve him throughout our lives. But it's not easy to stay teachable, but it also brings freedom to admit that we don't know it all and we still need help. A lot of folks, a lot of the younger generations, that's where Charlie Kirk was reaching the younger generations, they thought they knew it all. I mean, you talk to a two-year-old or you talk to a teenager, they think they know it all, and they got all the answers. And nobody else can give them any advice, and they think they're going to hit the ground running, but all too often fall on their face and have to get back up. But that's where the Christians, that's where us as Christians, the family of God, can pull right alongside them and help teach them along the way and help direct them in the path that they need to go and point them back to Christ, back to the God, that awesome God, the merciful God that we all serve. And thankful for that. But when wisdom calls us, the ending quote there says, when wisdom calls us, how will we respond? And I'm pretty sure the congregation, the group that I'm talking to now, we already know how we respond. And but like I said, remaining teachable is the biggest problem that we as adults have. I know it's a constant struggle. There's always something new to learn. If you don't learn something new every day of your life, I don't know what the saying was. I think it was you're dead. I can't remember how that saying goes, but try to learn something new each and every day of our lives. No matter what, whether it be educational, whether it be historical fact, whether it be through Christ's word, we're supposed to stay in each and every day of our lives. It helps us to guide those behind us that are coming behind us, the generations that are coming behind us that need help. Like I said, you hear me say many times, who's going to fill their shoes? Is that quite a good old country song? Is who's going to fill their shoes? It's that can be applied to the religious or religious side of the Christian life as well. Who's going to fill their shoes? When people move on, when people start dying, the older generations start to die. The younger generations, they're the next hope. They're the next line of defense against Satan. They're the next line of preachers. They're the next line of teachers, educators, choir directors, whatever the case may be. But they need to find their calling, but they need help. Just like the guys that I taught of at the recovery house in Sheffield, they need help, and they need somebody to point the direction. Sometimes they need it. You need to be a little bit sterner, stricter, whenever in how you say things. Sometimes they don't get it through their head too often, too well, and sometimes they don't want to listen. But just like I was always told, I mean, if I don't listen, if I don't make the right decision, sooner or later, God will bring you back around. It don't make a difference. He's going to bring you back around. If he has a purpose for each and every one of our lives, each and every one of our lives, saved and unsaved, both. They're all part of his timeline, saved and unsaved. And if we don't listen, then he's got ways of making people listen. He's got ways, he had ways of making his children, the children of Israel, listen too, down through the years. And they didn't want to be teachable. They didn't want to try to remain teachable. They wanted to try to bend the process, bend the rules and regulations sometimes, but they didn't get away with it. God told them what he was going to do to them when he didn't. And he fulfilled his promise, his end of the promise, just like parents fulfill their end of the promise as they raise children or anyone else, even the teachers in school or anything else. But that's the lesson that I wanted to bring this evening for the first half of this service this evening before we moved into the music side of our section, our testimony, time of hymn sings. Testimonies, if you have a word of praise, like I said, if God lays a prayer request on your heart, let us know. Raise your hand, let me know. We will stop and we will pray. If you have a favorite song you're thinking of,